When I asked Tom how long I could preach, the reason why I did was back where I come from, a traveling minister stood up to give his address, and he asked at that point how long did he have to speak, and that's when the head elder stood up and said, "You can preach as long as you want, but we're out of here by 12. So I promise not to be too long. If you would, look at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. I am looking at reading it in the Message. So it's going to be a paraphrase, a concise daily language rather than a translation that might be a little bit difficult for people to understand. So Paul writes, "So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land." That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace-sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Very powerful. I thought that it was very, very clear way of sharing the gospel of what God has done and what we're experiencing, going to witness today in Danny. As I was preparing, just wondered, you know, my wonder is always, God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying? What do you have to say to those that you have me to speak in front of? I'm going to give my testimony as well, a very shortened version of it, and I'll tell you why. When we have people come to faith in our church, we put them through a First Steps class. And there was a time when I was doing a First Steps class. There were about 10 people who had recently become Christians, and we were going through. And I start with everyone giving their testimony. Tell us how you came to faith in Christ Jesus, just so that we can all share in that. Well, in the middle of this group was a man who had just started coming to church with his wife. His wife had recently become a Christian. He wanted to check out what these Christians were really all about, because, of course, she came home one day and said, she was so excited because Roy gave her a hug. And he was, "Who's Roy? And why is he hugging my wife?" So he came down to find out what this Christianity was all about. And he'd been coming for a couple of weeks. And we start sharing our testimony. And it gets to Morris. And I say, "Morris, I know you're still seeking. I know you haven't decided to become a Christian yet, but could you just tell us why you're coming down here? And so he did. And then the next person gave their testimony. And he said, wait, Dwayne, sorry, I should have asked this when it was my turn. I've heard how you've become a Christian, and I've heard how these others have become a Christian. How do I become a Christian? And I was just reminded of that scripture in Revelation. The Apostle John writes, you know, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so our testimony, your testimony, is your story. My testimony is my story. People can't argue with our story. Our story is ours. But if we are faithful in giving our story, then God can use that to tug at people's hearts. I was born in Texas. Beaumont, Texas, just north of Houston, if you know where that is. My parents moved back to Arkansas. They were both from Arkansas. They were just in Texas for a little while. And after living on my granddad's farm for a number of years, we sold and moved back to Texas. In my case, couldn't wait to get back there. I've always been to church. My parents, my dad being a deacon, my mom being a Sunday school teacher, just always in church. But that doesn't mean I've always been a Christian. And I just thought the way that that Tom and his son shared this morning, you know, it's not just about, you know, cleaning up the outside. You know, it is, being a Christian is about, you know, having God clean the inside. You see, I was very good at lying. Unfortunately, it came very natural to me. Whether it was because I had four sisters and I was always the butt of the jokes and the focus of all the punches that they could muster, plus their friends, and then they would laugh at me because I was getting beaten up by girls. Who knows? Maybe it was because my dad was a very strict disciplinarian, and if I could lie and get my sisters in trouble, then ha-ha, payback. Whatever it was, my dad constantly reminded me that I was a liar. So I didn't disappoint. I continued to lie. I lied to my mom and my dad. I lied to my parents, church leaders. I lied to my coaches, my teachers. I lied to my friends. I was even lying to myself that I was okay. But you know who I wasn't lying to? God. He knew what was in my heart. And although I never physically hurt anyone, I was very good at hurting people verbally. I had such a bad self-worth that if I could get in with the condemnation and the critiques first, then I could have everyone worried about what I was going to say about them, that they wouldn't say anything about me. I had a head knowledge of church, Bible, and God, and I thought that was enough. It didn't mean a thing. I went out one night, and this is where my lies came crashing down. I went out one night. I was supposed to be staying with a friend, so we didn't have a designated driver. And evidently, we got into a car. I don't know. This is all hearsay. It's just what a number of friends have told me. We got into the car with a couple of nice-looking girls, and one of them hadn't been drinking. And so she was driving. Then she decided she wanted to drink. And my friend, he and I had been drinking since about 5. It was 11 o'clock at night. He decided he could drive. I woke up 9 days later. I was a pretty good athlete at the time. In America, we can go to university playing athletics. And I was talking to two different universities about that possibility. Of course, those offers get taken away when they find out that you've fractured your neck, broke my cheekbone, shattered my nose, destroyed all my hopes and dreams. So there I am, a couple of weeks out of the hospital. I've been humiliated. I've been caught out. I'm in despair. I'm in pain because I just can't sleep because of the pain. If you know, if you've, you know, had pain that keeps you up all night, you know what I'm talking about. So being in Texas, I got my shotgun down. I had it between my legs, rested my chin on it. I didn't hear a verbal, audible voice, but I know that God spoke to my spirit. He said, I did not save you for you to end it like this. I said, save me? You call this saving me? I've lost everything, God. But no response. What do you mean? No response. So I put the shotgun back and said, well, I got to find out before I end it. What does he mean? The police told my parents that the car was too small for the automatic transmission to go from the front floorboard to the back seat where I was sitting, and for me to go from the back seat to the front floorboard without it going through me. They couldn't explain it. The doctors told my parents, prepare your son. Your son will not make it till dawn. If he does, he will be a vegetable for the rest of his life. Don't say it. Yes, that explains a lot of things for those who know me. So I did what I knew to do. I threw myself into church. I threw myself into religion. I thought if I cleaned up the outside a little bit better, put a bit more shine on it, everything would be okay. A year later, I'm drinking again. And not only am I drinking again, I'm in another accident. And I'm yelling and screaming because I've got a temper that you don't want to see. And God speaks to my spirit again. He says, do you think you're without fault? You're only 20 years old. You're not legal to be drinking. You know, you're certainly not legal to be drinking and driving. That nagging voice. Quick, let me get out of this situation. Let me, you know, get someplace where I can find out. Answer me this time, God. Answer me this time. Why? What is it? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? God led me on a journey of discovery. I allowed him to clean my heart. I gave my heart to him. It wasn't just a matter of going to church. It was giving him my heart, saying, there's so much more to life that I am living. I want to live the life that you have for me. And everything changed. I told you I had a temper. I've got two sisters that are younger than me, but they've always been considerably larger than me. Even though I was only about 10 stone, and they were between 17 and 20 stone, I would get so angry with them. I could pick them up and shake them and throw them. I know, not nice. I was not a nice guy. When I gave my heart to Jesus, my mom sat me down one day. She goes, what's happened? You've changed. I said, how do you know I've changed? She said, you're not treating your sisters the way you normally do. You haven't gotten angry. You've not shouted at them. You've not picked them up. You've not shaken them. You've not done anything. You've done nothing but be nice to them. What's happened? Mom, I became a Christian. What a difference. Well, to take a very long story and make it short, never in my wildest dreams did I realize that just as that scripture we were reading about God taking us out of an old sin-filled country, God would take me to a grace-filled life. And for me, it's a physical experience as well. You see, over 22 years ago, we celebrated our 22nd anniversary yesterday. 22 years ago, I was here in England. I thought just for a couple of months to be able to see England, just before I finished my university degree, get to pop over and see a bit of Europe. When the church leader's daughter came down from London, I was staying with him and his wife. She came to kick me out of their house, and we agreed the following weekend that we would get married. And so, it's 22 years later. One thing about moving countries, whether it's the sin and death-filled country to a grace-filled country, or if it's leaving Texas to come to England, you have to learn a new language. And certainly, my experience has been quite comical. And if you know Americans that have been here for a while, probably you know some of the words that we've had problems with. The first time I was told I needed a jumper. That's what I was thinking. Do I really need a jumper? It's snowing outside. I don't think so. Those are some trendy trainers. What are you on about? That's a trainer. Now, biscuits. Being asked, do you want squash and biscuits? I was really struggling with that. Because biscuits are like that, and squash is a zucchini. So, courgette. Sorry, get my right. I'm still in America, aren't I? Chips. Ah, the English love their chips, and I tell you what, I like them too. But when I was asked about chips, that's what I was thinking. Crisp, that's not as big a fan about crisps as I am chips. Went to the supermarket. Could you get a trolley? Walking around Asda looking for one of those. That one really, really confused me. Oh, she's got a dummy. Really? Isn't that what you put in a car to test to make sure the brakes and everything work all right? And a boot. I'm from Texas. Come on, guys. That's a boot. And the bonnet. Well, I was looking for a little girl. There's definitely not anything to check under there. And everyone's favorite. I made the mistake of saying, oh, I spilled some spaghetti bolognese on my pants. And everybody's eyes nearly bugged out. This is a picture. On the left-hand side is Egypt. That's the Red Sea in the middle. And the Sinai Peninsula on the right, on the way to the Promised Land. Egypt in the Bible has always been a symbol of slavery, of sin, of death. And each and every one of us, are born into sin and death. We have no choice. It's in our DNA. Adam and Eve, thank you very much. But this is, this is their inheritance to us. We'll all die in this country unless, as me and many of you and Danny, unless we become Christians, unless we allow Christ to clean our hearts and we go through the baptismal waters to the other side. And the Bible does call this crossing of the Red Sea a baptism into Moses. And the baptism that we're going to witness here is a baptism into Jesus Christ, because he's the one that has cleaned Danny's heart. So my question to you, are you living in the country of sin and death? Have you asked God to clean your heart? Have you gone through the baptismal waters? And are you living in a country full of grace and eternal life? If you have not made that decision, talk to someone here that you are comfortable with talking. Ask God to forgive your sins. He's so good. No, you may not move countries. It may not be an experience like mine, but it's going to be an amazing experience nonetheless. And the rewards are out of this world.